This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Denise Salcedo. It is Tuesday, August 15th, and we are here to chat about WWE NXT right before Heatwave, because next week is Heatwave. And today's show, oh my God. So we actually have a lot to get into in regards to today's show. I'm not kidding you. We have 11, 12 different topics to get into here today. I'm not kidding you. There's kind of a lot. I feel like NXT is moving their show like a lot faster. So not only are we getting like in-ring segments, we're getting all of these video packages, we're getting backstage segments, we're getting a little bit of everything. So they're going with that fast-paced model. And I feel like they have for the most part for a while now. But today I kind of felt like there was just a lot happening on the show, which was a good thing, honestly, because I like that this felt like a pretty they did a good job of hyping up Heatwave, where I'm excited for Heatwave next week. So I'm looking forward to all of that. But before we get into NXT, everybody, so I want to say thank you to everyone from the very beginning. I want to start it off with this, because when was it, this Friday or this weekend, at some point this weekend, my podcast hit number 23 on the top pro wrestling podcast in the United States. Guys, number 23. And for those of you who have heard me kind of talk about this before, I was kind of like really, really low on the totem pole, but I've been pushing and I've been pushing, and I peaked at 23. I officially broke into the top 30 podcasts. I still haven't broken into the top 20 or the top 10, but I'm aiming for it, and I hope that it happens very, very soon. Now, before we go ahead and get into NXT, just a couple of notes here, because this week and next week are going to look a little bit different, especially next week, because I will be in London, everyone. So I'm going to be on London time, and I'm not going to have the perks of having to being able to watch pro wrestling in a beautiful West Coast hour. So things are going to look a little bit different next week for all of my shows. However, please keep an eye out, because chances are you're just going to see the shows either pre-recorded, and they're going to be happening, not pre-recorded, I should say, not live, but still like a post-show review. And you're probably just going to have to see it the following day, because turns out that it's like 1 a.m. in the UK when shows start. So it's going to be an entirely different schedule, but just keep keeping an eye out on my Twitter, on my social medias, on here, on the YouTube channel, and you'll know when I'm pretty much live. And then tomorrow I will be back with Righteous Reg, and we will be talking about Dynamite. Friday, reminder that I will not be here because I am going to be at my brother's first football game. I could not miss that at all. I'm very excited to see my brother play football. I'm very excited about that. However, I will be podcasting on Friday, though. For those of you here who check out Busted Open, surprise, I'm going to be on Busted Open on Friday. So I will be on Busted Open on Friday morning as well as Saturday morning. So double dose there. So even though you won't see me for the SmackDown post show here, you will see me Friday morning on Busted Open. And then one more thing, I am most likely doing another interview tomorrow, a pretty big one that I'm really looking forward to. And if all goes well, that is going to be dropping on Thursday. And I want to thank you guys so much for all of the love that you guys gave that Hikaru Shida interview. It is one of my interviews that has gotten the best responses overall. So now that we have gotten into everything, now let's go ahead and get into NXT conversation. So here we go. We'll probably spend some more time talking about certain things than other things, but let's get to it. I'm going to kick it off with the opening match, which was Tony D and Stacks defeating the NXT tag team titles against the Dyad. So pretty much the thing to take away from here, I kind of thought that the match itself was maybe just a tad bit dull. It wasn't anything too explosive or super remarkable. I think that when it comes to Tony D and Shannon Stacks Lorenzo, I think some of their matches just do a little bit better with more of the bells and whistles. And that is kind of what I enjoy when they do wrestle. But the big thing to take away from here, though, is that Ivy Nile at one point comes out towards the end of this, and she is kind of confronting the entire schism. And at one point you're thinking, man, this one woman has a lot of courage, because damn, she's confronting all of the schism. And so with the help of one of the secret members in the schism, ends up attacking Jagger Reed. And so Tony D is able to get the win with the help of one of the hidden schism members, which I think a lot of us pretty much already know is the Creed brothers, but they didn't actually do the reveal just yet, but you pretty much knew. So I'm expecting the reveal at some point, maybe at Heatwave. It's possibly when they're going to do it. But either way, that was really the big thing to take away from this. So I'm going to go ahead and move on from here and get into Dana Brooke versus Blair Davenport. So there's kind of a bit to talk about here. So Dana Brooke, we've been talking about how she is dabbling into this new character, this new persona. And today on the show, I was wondering if they were finally going to show, or if they had any sort of, if they were ever going to do her and Kehlani Jordan. And it looks like they definitely are, because Kehlani Jordan and Dana Brooke, for the most part, have sort of been friends, even though they're two very different people. And Dana Brooke has been kind of hard on Kehlani, but we end up getting this match with her and Blair. The match itself, it wasn't a bad match. Let me start off by saying that it was not a bad match. There were some good moments. I think that a lot of the good moments, though, were primarily on Blair's side, because there was a moment where, like, Blair, right at the top of this match, she had a nasty double stomp on the back of Dana Brooke. Man, that was freaking sick. And then she did like a sliding boot right onto Dana. The thing about Blair and the difference between her and Dana in this match was that Blair just like really lays it in. So it just looks different. There was one thing that I really liked from Dana in this match, and it was her sit down power bomb that she did on Blair. I thought that one looked pretty good. She went for the pin, but it ended up being only a two count. But my one big criticism, I would say, or maybe a minor criticism, it wasn't too big of a criticism. One of my minor criticisms, though, in this is that there's a moment where Dana Brooke goes to the outside. And she's frustrated because she's not winning this match. She can't get the win. So she tries to use the ring bell. And Kehlani Jordan talks her out of it. She's like, no, don't do it. You can't do it. You can't use this ring bell. And she gets back into the ring, and commentary was basically trying to put over the fact that, like, what the hell is wrong with Dana Brooke? Has she completely lost her mind? This is so unlike her. We've been seeing such different situations out of Dana Brooke the last couple of weeks. And so Dana, when she got back into the ring, the one thing I really wish, though, is because they were really selling that she was this crazy person, I really wish we would have gotten a lot more of Dana, because I know she was starting to wail on Blair, but I think she could have gone in a lot more, a lot harder, been a lot more crazy, a lot more psycho to like really sell the fact that she is a loose cannon. And so that was one of the things that I did want to see a little bit more. They've been talking so much about her killer instinct, her edge. And I think that especially the part after the ring bell attempt, I really do think we should have been seeing more of a crazed Dana Brooke. But either way, this basically ends up kind of screwing Dana Brooke here, because Blair, again, she just hits everything a lot harder. And then eventually we end up seeing Blair Davenport get the victory here. But the thing to talk about after this, though, is that Kehlani goes into the ring and she puts her hand on the shoulder of Dana. And Dana just gives her like the nastiest look ever. Like, how dare this girl just touch me? You can tell she was probably even blaming her, because she convinced her to not actually use the ring bell. And so it looks like we're heading into Dana Brooke, Kehlani Jordan. So that's perfectly fine. I'm excited to see them work together, mainly because of how different their personalities are. Again, I said this last week, but I am enjoying what they're doing with Dana Brooke. I'm enjoying this new personality. All right, so let's go ahead. Oh, we got our first super chat of the day. Yay. This one is from Sheldon Jackson, who says, Dana Brooke wasn't very clean. To me, it was just got sloppy towards the end of the match. Also, that Kimagoya knee strike Blair hit just wasn't believable. She hit her with two strikes. She got her with two knee strikes. And those two knee strikes at the end were very good. I did like the two knee strikes. However, I do agree with you on the match not being like super technically. Technically speaking, it wasn't great. And what can I say, guys? There was just two different types of competitors in there. And you could really kind of see the difference between Blair and Dana. And I think that was kind of the issue where it really stood out. Like the difference really stood out as to how Blair does certain things and how Dana does certain things. And that kind of did stand out a little bit. But I did like the two knee strikes at the end. I thought they came in very strong. It was like, bam, bam, Blair hit them. Boom, boom, one, two, three. Loved that. I did love the finish, actually. Sheldon Jackson, thank you so much for the super chat. First super chat of the night. Yeah, score. Okay, so people are asking if Dana's finally going heel. It pretty much feels like she is. They've been teasing this now for a couple of weeks. This is what they've been doing. And so, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, hells no. Grande Hero. Grande Hero just hit me with the Denise isn't going to know who TLC is. Bro, did you think I live under a rock, Grande Hero? I most definitely know who TLC is. Man, I bet you don't even know who 3LW is. I also love 3LW. I'm about to just start naming a bunch of people and groups that I love. By the way, I do love 3LW, but I also love TLC. I do not appreciate this, Grande Hero. How dare you think I don't know who TLC is? All right, anyways, we'll talk about TLC later because they'll come up a lot later. They'll come up a lot later. All right. So, bro, I'm a 90s baby. I was born in freaking 92. I'm a 90s baby. Damn. All right. So, see, now we got the chat out here talking about 3LW. See, Tiger Claw Gaming doesn't even know 3LW. I don't know why I brought them up, but I really like 3LW and they just popped into my head. Like, they really did. But anyway, so... By the way, I like Grande Hero, guys. I'm just trolling here. Anyways, so we're done with Dana Brooke and Blair Davenport. We covered all of that. We're most likely going to get Dana Brooke and Kehlani Jordan at some point. And yes, Dana Brooke is a heel, guys. She's getting there. She was sort of still masquerading as a good guy, but it's pretty much very clear that she is heading that direction. All right, so let's get into Thea Hale and JC Jane. So This has been fun, guys. This has been fun because I'm loving the downfall of Chase U. That's what I love. I love the downfall. I love the hearts that are breaking all over the world as they crumble down. Oh man, the chat's gonna turn on me. This is it, guys. The chat's gonna turn on me, everybody. So anyways, Thea Hale versus JC Jane, Sheldon Jackson's favorite. And I'm just trolling you, Sheldon. At this point, I'm just trolling you. All right. So, anyways, Thea Hale, JC Jane. And this match was made by Andre Chase. Andre Chase is the one that threw in the towel and basically screwed Thea Hale out of her victory, out of becoming NXT Women's Champion at freaking Great American Bash against Tiffany Stratton. And when he threw the towel in, he screwed her. He was done, but he did it because he thought that it was the right thing to do. He did it with good intentions. However, the last couple of weeks, we have saw that he has basically annoyed Thea Hale to a whole other extreme. She can't stand the man. She can't even look at him. Her face just like erupts in anger. I love it. And so he makes this match because he wants Thea Hale to let her anger out. He wants her to let her anger out. He wants her to get back on track. He wants her to get a win. So he has nothing but good intentions here. And even Duke Hudson agrees with him backstage. He's like, yeah. Okay, cool. They're all in agreeance here. And then we get to the match. The match. for the most part, is Thea Hale killing it. She's got the match in control. She's trying to get her win. At one point, JC Jane hits a spine buster. Thea kicks out. JC Jane starts to get very frustrated because she's not getting this victory over Thea Hale. So she starts to undo the turnbuckle. It seems like she's going to try and cheat in this match. And of course, Andre Chase, who's out on ringside, notices this and he gets up and he starts to try and fix it. But Thea Hale instead gets very upset. She starts yelling at him. She's like, get down from here. Get out of here. Don't be here. She's pissed. She doesn't want him there. And then this basically allowed JC Jane, to get her with an inside cradle. She gets her, 1, 2, 3, gets the win. And once again, Thea Hale is screwed by Andre Chase and loses another match. And she is pissed off. So the trouble here continues. And the thing that I'm curious about too is, again, they kind of had Duke Hudson be like backstage. He kind of, when we first saw him talking to Andre Chase, he was in agreement with Andre about making this match with Thea and JC. And then when Thea got there, he kind of switched gears. He jumped ships. All of a sudden, he was like, bro, I don't know what you did that for. And so I'm still wondering about Duke Hudson. Is he going to leverage the nature of what's going down right now with Andre and Thea? Is he going to use this for his advantage? Is this the downfall of Chase U? I want to see hearts break everywhere, guys. I'm here. I'm ready for the heartbreak. I really, really am. But I think at some point, because here's the thing, Andre Chase has done this with good intentions. He hasn't had any bad intentions. So at some point, we're going to have to see Thea Hale and Andre Chase make up and everything's going to be happy and it's going to be stars and rainbows all over again. But I want to see something come of this. And what I want is either to get a period where we get Thea Hale as a psycho mad woman who feels betrayed by everybody, or we get Duke Hudson, who secretly has a vendetta and is going to tear apart Chase U. I don't know. I feel like I need to get something out of this. And that's something along the lines of what I want to see. So, yes, Christopher Smith, I do want heartbreak. That's exactly what I want. Heather says, to be honest, I like the downfall of this. Me too. Me too. I'm feeling it, guys. And I said this before, but the reason is that because Thea Hale is so lovable, that even though Andre Chase is doing all of this with good intentions, I'm still mad at Andre Chase. And I feel like some people are like, damn, I get her. I'm pissed too. So even though it feels like even though you like the relationship, I feel like because people like her so much, the heartbreaking stuff is definitely going to hit a lot harder because a lot of people did like Chase U. All right. We got a super chat here from Tim Weininger Jr. who says, after Chase U, can we get a downfall of the Judgment Day? Tim Weininger Jr. is on the anti-Judgment Day front. So I'm pretty sure you did not like what you saw here today, because in case you're wondering, we are going to see the Judgment Day at Heatwave next week. But I don't know. I don't think we're going to be seeing the downfall of Judgment Day anytime soon because because we do have Finn Balor and Damian Priest beefing. But I still don't think that'll be the downfall of the entire group. I think it'll still exist even if one member is kind of out of the picture. So, but I'm not expecting like the entire thing because they're doing well with it. I mean, look at them. They're putting Rhea and Dom on freaking every show. And people are interested in the Judgment Day. So I think they're going to still keep it going for a while, as much as they can. Steven Marchulli sends in a super chat saying, Thea Hale is excellent. I feel she could be a MVP as a heel or a face. Still think the swerve is Duke turns on both Chase and Thea. Like I said, I hope he uses this, their friendship falling apart. I hope he uses that for his advantage and his own personal gain. Although, what does he get out of it, though? What would Duke Hudson get out of the downfall of Chase U, other than just satisfaction and just being really mean? That's like literally all I can think of right now. Maybe he wants out. Maybe he's done with the homework. Maybe he's done trying to have school spirit. Maybe he's over chase you. I don't know, guys, because you know they teased it a long time ago. I'm not going to go back and recap all of this chase you history, but we've seen it before. We've seen it. I do agree with Steven. I want to see something like that. We need to get something. Sheldon Jackson sends in a super chat saying, really bestie with the disrespect and catching strays for no reason with JC, LOL. JC tonight didn't impress him either. He went down from a 5% down to a 2% tonight. Confirmed Denise chose violence. I do choose violence now. And from now on, anytime I hear JC Jane, I think of Sheldon Jackson. Anytime I hear of Judgment Day, I'm going to think about Tim Weininger Jr. That's just the way that it's going to go from now on. But Sheldon, thank you so much for the super chat. We will talk. We will talk a little bit more about JC Jane, but that was pretty much it, guys. I mean, this match was really just to show that Thea Hale was doing a good job. This match was just them trying to tell a story that Thea Hale could win the match, except she keeps getting screwed by these either throwing the towel in or all of a sudden some sort of distraction, right? But the story that they wanted to tell here was that Thea Hale did have this match won, except for that distraction. But in terms of like everything else, though, the match itself was just like whatever's. Nothing too crazy. It was mainly just a story-wise, story-based. All right, let's go ahead and press on from here, and let's get into Trick Williams versus Drew Gulak. So this one here, I think I was left a little bit underwhelmed with this match, and the reason for that is, keep in mind that Trick Williams is going into this big match at Heatwave against Ilya Dragunov, and Ilya Dragunov is, you guys know I'm a big fan of the guy, and he's, to me, top-notch, man. He's as top-notch as he gets. And we've mentioned before that this is sort of feels like a, you know, this is really the test. This is really the test for Trick Williams. This is going to be a big moment for him to have this match with Ilya at Heatwave. And so part of the reason why he basically broke off from Carmelo Hayes was to pursue his own thing on the roster, to make himself into a star. And so in this match with Drew Gulak, for the most part, he was pretty much outnumbered. It was practically a 3-on-1 match because Drew had his friends out there. He had Charlie Dempsey. He had Damon Kemp. And so this basically became a 3-on-1 until finally I think it was Briggs and Jensen came out, and they ended up kind of evening out the odds there. And for the most part, though, I didn't think the match was too explosive. I thought there were a couple of things that I liked, and really the only things that really stood out to me was the drop kick that Trick Williams is calling the trick kick. I thought he nailed that very nicely, so that was definitely fun to see. But I will say this, though. This is something that I've noticed about Trick, and the thing that I've noticed about Trick, though, is that his match seemed a little bit more... He seems a little bit more steady, like a little bit more in control in the ring, a little bit more of a controlled pace where he doesn't kind of feel like a little bit all over the place. He feels a lot more steady, a lot more grounded. So that was definitely something that I picked up in this match here. But in terms of, I think because Ilya Dragunov match feels like such a big match for him, I think I was kind of expecting a little bit more. I don't know if maybe him and Drew Gulak weren't the best. I don't know if Drew Gulak was maybe the best opponent for Trick Williams here. Maybe they could have gone with someone different just to kind of highlight Trick Williams' style a little bit more. I don't know what it was, but this one necessarily wasn't a hit for me. But I'm still excited to see Trick and Ilya Dragunov at Heatwave. But for the most part, Trick Williams gets his win, and he had to, honestly. There was no way he could go into this match at Heatwave with a loss. So this was pretty much just him getting his win, even though he was outnumbered until he got some help. So it was definitely fine. All right, so let's go ahead and press on from here, and let's get into Tiger Claw Gaming. How dare you? DWO member says that he thinks Ilya's boring for him. I think we had this conversation before. I don't get it. Did you not watch him against Carmelo Hayes or against Gunther? I love Ilya Dragunov. I love Ilya Dragunov. Like, he is the freaking man, man. Like, he's the man. Like, I've said this before, but if I was a dude, if tomorrow I woke up as a dude, my ass better be Ilya Dragunov or Brock Lesnar. I don't want to be anybody else. It's either Ilya Dragunov or Brock Lesnar. I won't take anything less, man. If I'm going to be a man, I'm going to be a man's man, all right? Be the man. And those two guys, to me, are like the most manliest men that I can think of. So yeah, either wake up tomorrow as Ilya or freaking Brock. Won't take anybody else. Nobody else. All right, let's go ahead and move on from here and let's get into this Baron Corbin situation. So we're going to spend a little while here on Baron Corbin because there's a lot to cover, like a lot to cover. So first of all, Baron Corbin has a backstage interview. The only thing I want to touch on this is that we finally saw Sarah Schreiber again. So for those of you who don't remember, Sarah Schreiber was the Raw backstage interviewer. She was there, you know, in the pre-Triple H era of creative. So it was kind of when we started to see the changes from Vince McMahon over to Triple H, and you saw all of the new backstage announcers. We saw the return of Kathy Kelly. We saw, you know, people jump from show to show and all of these changes. Unfortunately, Sarah was pretty much not seen on Raw since then. And for a while, I remember thinking like, damn, is she still with WWE? But I obviously went on her social media and she was doing all of the community events. And I got to see her down at WrestleMania. WrestleMania and another event. I forgot what pay-per-view it was, but she was doing all the community events. And let me tell you guys, I'm a big fan of Sarah Schreiber because I think she's a real cool person. And she is more, she's a different type of backstage interviewer though. She's more along the lines of the traditional, I guess you can say, hosty host type of backstage interviewer. She's definitely different than like, you know, than Kayla Braxton and, you know, Renee Paquette. They're very different, but I still really liked what Sarah brought to the table. And so, yeah, you did see that change from the main roster. So now I don't know if she's going to be permanently on NXT or if this was a one-time thing, because we have seen clearly Mackenzie Mitchell is the one that is the main backstage interviewer on NXT. And then they've also had Kelly Kincaid. I think that's still her name in WWE. Oh my gosh, I don't remember her WWE name. That's her WWE name, right? Ooh, sorry. So many names, so many changes, always forget. Anyway, so we have seen her there as well. And so now I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be seeing her on NXT moving forward or what they're going to necessarily do. But I do like Sarah a whole lot. So continuing on, we get an in-ring promo from Baron Corbin. And Baron Corbin comes out and he's just like, freaking loose as a cannon, man. This guy goes out there and he starts saying that he's going to say whatever he wants. He's not going to worry about any repercussions, and mentions running out Gable Steveson after their match that occurred at NXT Vengeance Day, and that he's not coming back for more. Now, I don't know to read more into that than I should, but things weren't looking too great for Gable Steveson on NXT, especially after the pay-per-view. So I don't know what the hell is going on there. And then he goes on, and I think Baron Corbin was out here hitting all of my favorite insults, because he starts calling everyone backstage in NXT soft little bitches. And let me tell you, that is my favorite insults ever, okay? If we get in a fight, we get in an argument, that's my terminology. That's where I'm going with this. So Baron Corbin out here calling the entire roster soft little bitches. I couldn't stop laughing at this. It was great. And then he goes on to explain the ship thing. So when we were here watching NXT Vengeance Day on our watch along, a lot of people were like, what are we doing with this ship? What's going on? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the ship. Maybe he's a pirate now. Who knows? Baron Corbin has had like a zillion different gimmicks throughout his whole career. And so he basically tells us that he is introducing the new era of Baron Corbin, thus the ship thing. I still don't really understand it, but the ship thing is a thing now, and that's the part of this new era of Baron Corbin. So make what you will of that. And from here on then, we move on to something that I can't wait to talk about, and that is Von Wagner. So Von Wagner, the last time we were here talking about him, we were talking about his tabled situation, how they're really pushing that now. It's working. It's getting over definitely with the NXT audience. And he had a match with Bron Breakker. He lost that match, but he still got his heat back by putting Bron Breakker into that table. So obviously, Bron Breakker is going to want his revenge. But let's put a pause on that for a second, because Von Wagner and Robert Stone come out and confront Baron Corbin. And I forgot what a good manager Robert Stone is. I actually really like him as a manager. I just think he's pretty good on the mic, so I enjoy him. So he comes out and he says that he disagrees with this statement. He disagrees with it. Of course, he's not going to agree with that. And then Robert Stone says that the only guy standing in front of Baron Corbin is Von Wagner. He's in his way. And he starts to brag about how Von Wagner put Bron Breakker through a table. And then Baron's like, you know what? Why don't you give him the mic? Let's hear him talk. Does he not talk? Give him the microphone. So Baron gives him the mic. So Stone gives Von Wagner the microphone. And then Baron's like, no, give it back. He doesn't give it back though. And we get a promo from Von Wagner. And let me tell you something, guys. I think the chat's going to turn on me. You guys are going to turn on me. But you know what? I had a great time with this Von Wagner promo. I'm not even kidding you guys. I loved it. And I may have loved it for different reasons than you might think. But I loved it because they kept it simple. They kept it simple with Von here. He takes the mic and he's like, maybe I say too little. But that's because you talk so much. And then the crowd's like, yeah, it's true. He talks so much. That was a very simple little line that they gave up. And then he says, I'm tired of your sob story. And this made me laugh. This made me laugh because he's out here talking about sob stories. Hello. He had like the biggest sob story on NXT. We were out here talking about like how heartbreaking the video was of him as a child. And it still is heartbreaking. But I thought it was funny. The choice of words telling Baron Corbin, we're out here hearing your sob story every week. And so that kind of was funny. But then it goes on. It gets even better. Von Wagner starts to get a little comfortable, right? So he starts spewing out more words, okay? And as a person who talks a lot, and I know this because this is something that I do, when I get very excited about something, I start to talk faster. I get a lot more energy, and sometimes that will mess you up, right? And Lord, did it happen to Von Wagner. So Von is out here talking about how he's bearing Baron Corbin's multiple gimmicks, all of the gimmicks that he's had. He's all naming the gimmicks. He names a few, right? First, he says, oh, you've had like 10 gimmicks. And then he names a couple. And then he goes, I can't even remember the other 8. And I'm like, bro, you named more than 2. So I was laughing at that. But then it gets even better. So Von Wagner is very comfortable. And he tells Baron Corbin that all of his characters sucked. But it comes out differently when he says it. It kind of sounded like he said sought. And if you listen very closely, you probably caught this. And that was my favorite part of the whole thing, was how hyped Von Wagner got. And then when he said sucked, you didn't even know that he said sucked. It sounded like sought. And it was the best thing ever. So you know what? I was a fan of this. I don't care what anyone says. I was a fan. So anyways, they are wrestling at Heatwave. The match was made. And then he even calls him a bald-headed ass who's going to get tabled. I was like, damn, look at Von Wagner out here getting confident with his insults. The fans start chanting tabled. And they fight. Security breaks them up. Okay. So that's the whole Von Wagner, Baron Corbin situation. Now, it's not looking like this is going to last past Heatwave, at least for right now, because later on, we get Bron Breakker. He's leaving the building. Sorry, excuse me, Von Wagner. No, Baron Corbin. Oh my gosh. Baron Corbin's leaving the building and he is confronted by Bron Breakker, and Bron starts telling him, I'm not finished with Von. So dude, what are you doing? And Baron Corbin tells him, well, you pretty much looked finished when I saw you get put through that table. So then Bron Breakker gets offended by that. And he tells them, I'm going to be watching you. I'm going to be watching you. I'm going to be paying close attention to this match at Heatwave. And Baron tells him, dude, you don't intimidate me. Doesn't intimidate him. So it looks like we're after this. It looks like we're working our way towards a Bron Breakker Baron Corbin program. And I'll tell you, I am completely here for this because I think that kind of matches a little bit more of Baron Corbin's caliber in terms of the guy's been on the main roster. And Bron Breakker is kind of, you need to keep him going, keep him hot. And I don't know how much the Von Wagner feud was going to keep doing that. So it's nice to see that they're adjusting into Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker. So I am looking forward to that. I think it'll be good, especially now with these like promos that we've been getting from Baron Corbin. I think that'll be great. And the other thing that I did want to bring up, though, also Zeno Hour points out, what about a big meaty men triple threat? I could see that too, but I think they officially made it just them two, though. Yeah, the match has officially been made just them two, so not a triple threat. And so the other thing I do want to talk about, though, really quickly, is that Baron Corbin recently did an interview. And in this interview, he actually spoke about how he was fighting to extend his time in NXT. And I thought that was pretty interesting because, again, guys, nobody wants to go from the main roster to NXT, right? You want to be a main roster talent. And maybe, okay, fine, I'll make a couple of appearances, right? But for the most part, you don't want to necessarily go that direction, right? Because then that means something's not working for you on the main roster. But he comes out and he basically said, you know, I want to have the audience take a break from me. I want to give them a few months without me driving them nuts. And so he wants to do NXT for a couple more months. And according to him, really fine tune the details of things that he's been working on. So he feels like he really cares about what he's doing on NXT, or at least like he's really enjoying it. And here's the thing. Remember the last thing that Baron Corbin was doing on the main roster was that feud. Was the partnership with JBL. And that stunk. It stunk so bad, guys. It was like literally the worst thing ever. And he spoke about that. He talked about how he felt like he was drowning. Like he felt he was being set up for failure. He did a whole other interview talking about that. I think that was with Corey Graves on his podcast. And so I'm actually happy for Baron Corbin right now on NXT, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do. For the most part, I've been enjoying what Baron Corbin has offered on NXT. I think it's working, and I'm liking it because I do like Baron Corbin. I think that a lot of what hasn't worked for him in the past is that they give him stinker characters that just don't always work. But broke-ass Corbin was definitely proof that it could work. So let's go ahead and get some thoughts in here. We got a couple of super chats to read. This one's from Mike Parker, who sends in a very generous super chat. As always, Mike, thank you so much for your kindness and your generosity. Mike says, not part of the main show, but it gives me hope to see Cora Jade in the merch commercial. Doubt that it happened. She's not coming back. Just an observation. Not everyone may notice. I don't think I noticed the whole merch thing. No, I don't think I even noticed that. But I will say this. There was a thing that I did notice, though, because I was putting together my thumbnail for this. And I always go to WWE.com and I always get the little like images and information for the show from there. And one of the things that when I clicked on Dana Brooke's match for today and Dana and Blair, on the side where it said featured superstars, it just said Blair and it said Cora Jade. Like they didn't even put Dana Brooke. They just put Blair and Cora Jade. So I thought that was interesting. They usually don't make mistakes like that on the website that I've seen. And Stephen Marchuli sends in a super chat saying, Denise, you're starting your own promotion. Three names you take from current NXT rosters to start it. Ooh, yes. Roxanne Perez for the women. Ilya Dragunov for the men. And my bonus person would be, who do I really love? You know what? Thea Hale. I'll throw in Thea Hale because I can also not only use her as a wrestler, but I can also use her as an MC to pump up my crowd and get my crowd really excited. Or you only gave me three. So there you go. I'll take those three for now. We got another super chat here from Will Chisholm. Will Chisholm was also a DWO member. Will, thank you so much. Will says, if you could pick an NXT women's wrestler to be in a tag team, who would you choose? Would the two NXT women have to be together, or would it be one of those things where I can put one NXT woman with a main roster woman? Let me think about this one. Who would be a good tag team for the women? This one's a little hard because they're all so freaking different. Here's a wild one. Tiffany Stratton and Ivy Nile. Now, some of you are going, what the hell, Denise? The reason why I say Tiffany Stratton and Ivy Nile just for shits and giggles is because Tiffany Stratton's like this super girly girl. And then you got Ivy Nile who's out there with the muscles and the chains and the working out. And she hangs out with guys and she's more tomboyish. So I think having like the girly girl and the tomboy, I like those kinds of teams that are the odd couple pairings. I do like stuff like that. But anyways, that's just the first thing that comes off the top of my head. But if I were to put more thought into it, I think I'd probably come up with something better. But Will Chisholm, thank you so much for the question. Thank you so much for the super chat. All right, so let's go ahead. I know, Grande Zero says, how can you not take Melo? I was, guys. Y'all, he only gave me three options. Three options. Man, only three options. All right, let's go ahead and press on from here. And let's get into Tim Weininger Jr.'s favorite portion of the day, and that is the Judgment Day stuff. So we got some news for Heat Wave. We got a backstage promo from Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio. Really cute. Dominic Mysterio's leaning his head over Rhea. He's got a big smile. He's probably sniffing her. Her hair probably smells like coconuts. It's probably great. All right, so we get Rhea Ripley essentially issuing a challenge to Dragon Lee and Lyra Valkyra. They're going to do a mixed tag team match, and that has been made official for Heat Wave. And then we got a really funny interaction between Dragon Lee and Lyra backstage later on. And this was surprisingly worked. They have like this weird chemistry. I kind of want to see more of this. Now, I know this is just looking like a one-time thing. Fine, cool, whatever. But there was a really funny part where, you know, she's talking about how they're going to be a team, right? And then at one point, Dragon Lee kind of misconstrues what she says. And he starts thinking that she's hitting on him. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you trying to get me in trouble? And Lyra's like, what the hell, dude? I don't know what you're talking about. And then they straighten that out and realize that he's not hitting on her and that she's not hitting on him. And it was just odd, but it was fun. They made fun of Dominic's stupid face, according to them. I'm not saying his face is stupid. They're saying his face is stupid. And so it just worked. It worked. At one point, he even speaks Spanish to her. She tries to translate it. This was funny. I want to see more of Lyra and Dragon Lee. And I know they're not, because it wouldn't probably make too much sense to do that. But I don't know. You know what? In a couple months from now, they pass down each other on the hallway and just go, sup. I'm here for that. I'm here for a little sup. Xeno Hour says Dragon Lee fears Dragon Wife. As he should. All right. As he should. And we did get a tranquilo. Christopher Smith says tranquilo? ? Yeah. We did get that. That was fun. All right. So I'm looking forward to this mixed tag team match. I think that'll be fun. We'll do predictions later on. All right. So the other thing we got to get into is Wesley and Dijak. So they compete together to figure out who's going to become the number one contender for the NXT championship at Heat Wave. And so before the match, we get both Dijak and Wesley confronting Carmelo Hayes, and Carmelo Hayes is signing his 8x10s and he's doing all of that. And Carmelo's more like, he's a champ. He's more star status. So he kind of doesn't really care when they go up to him. He's just like, yeah, whatever. He's kind of going through the motions, I feel. And so I did like that both guys confronted him ahead of time. But then we get the actual match here. I thought the match was okay. I didn't think it was too great. I thought it was fine. We get Eddie Thorpe involved and he starts eyeing Dijak. So I think at one point it was made very clear that Dijak was not winning this. And I don't know, maybe it was already obvious. I think it was, given that Wesley and Carmelo Hayes had that little bit of a heated confrontation when they teamed up together. So I feel that it was very obvious that this was going to be Wesley. But if it didn't make it obvious then, they definitely made it obvious here and there. He ends up going in. He hits the Hurricanrana on Dijak. Dijak lands on the steel steps. He then gets him with the cardiac kick. And then he does, I don't know what he calls his finisher, but I don't even know what the hell was. It was amazing. I don't know what the hell Wesley did. He did like this corkscrew flippy thing. It was nuts, dude. I don't even know what that was, but it was awesome. And so he ends up winning this match, and we're going to be seeing Carmelo and Wesley next week on NXT Heatwave. But it gets better. So the big thing that I want to talk about is closing out the show. This is what closed out the show. We had an impromptu contract signing, and this was great because after he won his match, he went to Shawn Michaels's office, he got the contract, and then went and confronted Carmelo Hayes while he was signing his 8x10s, tossed out all the 8x10s, destroyed the table, and then takes out the table. He literally gets the table and freaking leaves with it, brings it out to the ring, and they end up doing this contract signing. But usually contract signings kind of suck, right? They kind of suck sometimes. They do the same thing over and over. But this was freaking great. So here's the thing, guys. In this situation, Carmelo Hayes, for the most part, I don't know how to explain this. Like, he's loved, right? We all love Carmelo Hayes. He's great. He's phenomenal. But in this situation here, Wesley is feeling like just the way stronger babyface. Like, Wesley, you couldn't help but to get behind him during this, because Carmelo basically tells him, like, you can't be him. That's how he refers to himself as him. And Wes is like, I don't want to be him. He starts talking about how Carmelo Hayes was a chosen one, and how his whole entire life he's been told, you can't do this, you can't do that. And he talks about how he's been proving his doubters wrong. And then he goes on and brings up that he was the best NXT North American champion. I don't necessarily agree with that part, but whatever, he brings it up. And then he goes on to after he mentions that, Carmelo Hayes is like, hold the phone there for a second. You know, I was a two-time NXT North American champion. And so they kind of go back and forth about who was the better champ. But then Carmelo Hayes puts a stop to it and says, we're talking about the NXT championship right now. And he tells them, you can't do this. And Wesley tells him, I'm not going to fail anymore. And when he said that line, when he started talking about how for a second he almost stopped not believing in himself, but he kept going, dude, this was a great promo by Wesley. I felt like you really connected with him. Like, you couldn't help but to be like, dude, I resonate with what you're saying. And so he feels very, very much like the underdog in this story. And clearly people love to root for the underdog, right? So after this, Carmelo hits him with the TLC lyric Grande Hero from Waterfalls. And he tells them, like, don't chase waterfalls. That was really great. That was a really great line. I love that he did that. It was a good time. So I was a fan of this, guys. I feel like in the beginning, I really didn't care too much about the Carmelo Hayes Wesley program, where I'm like, yeah, I'm a fan of both guys, but I'm not over the moon about it. But after this promo, man, I was sold. Both guys brought it. And it's one of those situations where, like, Carmelo Hayes to me doesn't necessarily feel like a heel. Like, he doesn't feel like that to me. It feels very in between. And Wesley, obviously, very strong babyface. That's how he feels. And I find myself going back and forth with who I'm rooting for while I was listening to this promo. Of course, overall, I'm rooting for Carmelo Hayes because I don't want to see Carmelo Hayes lose. But I'm like, damn, after everything Wesley said, how can the guy fail? How can the guy lose the match? Like, damn, he really sold me to the point where I feel he really needs to win this. But I'm not going for him. I'm going for Carmelo Hayes. Sorry, Wesley. But that's not to take away. That's not to take away from the promo that he cut, because it was a very good promo, honestly. So there you go. And I was a fan of this, everybody. I was a fan of this a whole lot. All right. Let me go ahead and catch up and make sure I'm caught up here. By the way, we got to hear the Bep Jr., who's been a member for 6 months. Thank you so much to the Bep Jr., by the way, for being a member for half a year now of the DWO. And he says, I think the Cora thing is a storyline. Yes, I believe so, too, the Bep Jr. Oh, my God. Will Chisholm. Dude, no way. So, Will, you just gave a really freaking generous super chat that I was not expecting. I haven't gotten one of these in a while. So really, holy shit, thank you. But also, can you please like send me your Twitter or your Instagram handle? Because I really want to thank you personally for this super chat, because it's very massive. And I feel like saying thank you is never enough. Chat, please, can you please give some love to Will as well in the chat, because this is very generous of him. And like I said, saying thank you on screen never feels like enough. But Will Chisholm does say, the Mello and Wesley promo off was great. This Wesley is the Wesley I've been hoping for on the mic. The promo felt real. It got me believing Wes can win, just showing love to a good person. Thank you so much, Will. You have no idea how far this goes. This channel is self-funded. You guys know that. And going into the Wesley stuff, when he was NXT North American champion, they did a really good job of basically, Wesley is good at getting these real types of promos. And we've seen it in the past with even like his vignettes where he was preparing. I forgot for what pay-per-view it was. Maybe one of you guys here in the chat remembers. But there was a pay-per-view that he was getting ready for. And they did this whole like video package where he talked about how important this was to him. I think it was like his girlfriend or his wife came out on it too. And it was this very emotional video. And then let's not forget that promo that he did when he you know, the whole thing happened with Nash Carter and the breakup of MSK and that promo that he cut where he was in the ring practically in tears. I mean, the guy knows how to pull people's heartstrings. And I think that is possibly Wesley's biggest attribute from a personality standpoint, from a character standpoint. I'm not talking about in-ring, just like personality-wise. He's very good at pulling people in and making you want to root for him. He's very, very good at that. Very good at that. Will, thank you so much for this generous super chat. Again, my thank yous were not enough. So please let me, I'm going to look in the comments right now for your username. But seriously, thank you so much for that. We have another super chat here from Brandon Rosen. Thank you so much to Brandon for your generosity. He says, I especially loved how Wesley referred to a real life event such as losing his tag team partner and getting down on himself. I have a strong feeling Wes is going to beat Mello and sending him off to the main roster. This is where I'm torn, because I told you guys I'm rooting for Carmelo Hayes, because I do think that Carmelo Hayes is a next level type of competitor. And he's proven that time and time again. And it is true, though. Carmelo Hayes came in and he had that rocket strapped to him. And I do think that, here's the thing, every time, and we always get to this certain point. We always get to this point where when you have a champion, your NXT champion, we always think that when he loses a bout, that means he's going to the main roster. And we've learned now with a recent situation with Bron Breakker, when he lost the bout, he did not go into the main roster. And Carmelo Hayes, if he were to lose the bout, I don't know, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to the main roster, right? Of course, he'd be great in the main roster. That's not even a question here. But because I don't know that he's going to the main roster, because it's not a given that if he loses the bout that he goes to the main roster, that's why I don't want to see Carmelo Hayes lose the bout. And I think and you guys know this, I'm a fan of long title reigns. Maybe not that long, but long title reigns. And I like getting to see the champions go on and face all these different types of competitors. And for the most part, you know, we really saw Carmelo Hayes do a lot with Braun Breaker. And then he had the stuff that he did recently with Ilya Dragunov. But then I think that's pretty much it. If I'm forgetting something else, then it probably wasn't that great. And so I want to see Carmelo Hayes still do more. And, but again, like Brandon here, I did also feel like rooting for Wes Lee after this promo. After this promo, I was like, damn, he cannot drop the ball here. Like the dude just mentioned that he cannot fail. And so, with that being said, this one's complicated, guys. I feel a little torn here. So you know what? Congratulations to the people over at NXT. They have successfully caused me confliction and turmoil in my feelings and predictions into this match. So I'll just go with, I'm definitely going with Carmelo Hayes. But if Wes Lee wins, I will not be upset about it. We'll leave it at that. Brandon Rosen, thank you so much as well for your awesome super chat, and everybody putting over Will as well. So that was very nice. Thank you to everybody that's showing some love to Will there. And we also got a brand new member of the DWO, everybody. What is up? Please welcome Brandon James Shia. Brandon, welcome to the DWO. I appreciate you joining the membership. There are about like 30 videos that are exclusive to members. I'm working on more. And check those out. Those are a lot of fun. Brandon James Shea, thank you so much for becoming a DWO member and welcome. All right, I'm catching up right now with all of everybody's comments here. All right, and I'm going to go ahead and press on and get into our next topic here. And our next topic at hand is going to be the Mustafa Ali announcement. So this is the big thing that I have been waiting to talk about. This is like the most buzzworthy thing, I would say, from today's show. So Mustafa Ali has had a wild ride in WWE. We've known, because he's been very public about it, that at some point he wanted out, guys. He wanted out. There was reports that he and Vince just were not seen eye to eye, and things looked like they got ugly. But, you know, and he wasn't let out of his contract. He stayed, and there was the Free Ali hashtag going on for a long time. There was a time where we were seeing Free Ali signs in the audience, and he was very open about wanting to leave. And recently on the main roster, it kind of felt like for a second that they were going to do something more with Mustafa Ali. And they kind of started him off doing stuff with Seth Rollins, but they didn't really go all the way with it. Like, it almost feels like they started it and then they just didn't actually like pull through with it. So Mustafa Ali kind of, for the most part, remained in the same spot as he always was on the main roster. Nothing more, sometimes less. And so then we're finally starting to see him over. Excuse me, before he went to NXT, we were seeing this positive Ali stuff. I didn't like it. I wasn't a fan of it. I thought it was annoying, but whatever. So now he's on NXT, and we've been seeing him involve himself into the NXT North American title picture. And he's been trying now, and he's been inching closer and closer now for a while trying to get there, and it has not happened for him yet. So he did something new here. So he's got a new gimmick. And let me tell you guys, I freaking loved it. Holy smokes, big fan of what they did here. So this is what they're doing. So Mustafa Ali is basically politicking to become NXT North American champion. He comes out and he's, you know, in a podium, and he's got his suit on and he's talking like a politician and somewhat like a dictator even. He's got the arms up in the air. He's doing everything, the whole politician thing. And the way that the video is worked, it's almost like the ones that you see during presidential elections where they go out and they start, you know, trashing their opponent and saying why you need to root for me because I'm going to do this. That's what Mustafa Ali did. So he goes out there and he's again in front of this podium and he starts saying that all of the past NXT North American champions, that they didn't matter and that they didn't do anything for the NXT North American Championship. And then he goes on, he trashes Wesley, right? But my favorite one is Dominic, because he starts saying, Dominic has no family values. And you're seeing the footage of him and the drama with Ray and Rhea and the mom and everything that they did. So he's right. Yeah, Dominic has no family values. And then he says, he's a convicted criminal. Prison Dom. Hello. All of this makes sense, but it's funny. And then he says, you will take my hand and an Ali you can trust. And throughout this, he said a bunch of other stuff that I didn't write down, but he said a whole bunch of stuff. But throughout this, they were showing clips of families watching his speech, a little girl on her iPad watching, and he was saying about how he's going to make the North American title better. And it was funny. This was great, man. I'm so feeling politician Mustafa Ali. I'm here for it. They did it in a way where, yeah, he's clearly a heel, but it's funny. It works. He's like spoofing off all of these things that they do in real life politics, and this worked. I was a fan of this. And now I'm kind of looking at this and I'm going, dude, are we going to make Ali NXT North American champion? Because after that, I kind of want to see it. I'm rooting for the guy. Like Dominic Mysterio, the whole thing about him becoming NXT North American champion was primarily to get that heat. And boy, is he getting it. But he's still going to get it if he loses the title. If he loses the title, he's still going to get it. And so I do think that there's a good possibility that we should be seeing Mustafa Ali become NXT North American champion. Like, come on now. Let's go. I want to see it. After this, I'm sold. Sold, man. This was so much fun. And I'm seeing here a lot of people saying that they like it. I'm going to read some of these right now. We got another generous super chat from Brandon Rosen. Let's go, guys. Getting lucky today. I went from freaking broke-ass Corbin to happy Corbin. Brandon Rosen says, for the first time, I'm excited about Mustafa Ali. This segment was intriguing. The whole politician gimmick looks like he's becoming an insidious heel. I think this angle got rejected by Vince on the main roster months ago. I saw a couple of people talking about that, and my memory isn't too great, so I gotta go and check and see if that's the one that they were talking about. But I've been seeing a lot of people talk about it on social media. But dude, come on, this freaking worked. And I don't, you know, obviously Vince is different, and so I can see why he would probably be like, no, pal, that's not good shit. But you know what? They're giving it a try on NXT, and you know what? It's working. And NXT is really good when it comes to these vignettes. We've talked about this a zillion freaking times, and they get concepts down very well, and they bring it to life very nicely. And so they did a phenomenal job with this Mustafa Ali video. And you know what? I'm here for it, guys. We're here for it. This is all working. Brandon Rosen, thank you so much for the super chat. And let's see what people are saying about all of this. Let's get some thoughts. This one's from Grande Hero, who says, this was funny AF. I'm down for Ali. He has my vote. Bro, he has my vote too. Like, that's it. I'm about to start putting I'm going to get an I voted for Mustafa Ali sticker. Okay. And let's see what else we got here. And Zeno Hour also says Ali finally gets to do one of his pitched characters. We have Mr. G-Bod, who says, I love Ali. And let's get some more thoughts in here, see what people are saying. Oh, man. Zeno Hour says, call Dominic a hardened criminal. MD pointing out ex-con dumb. Yeah, he did do that. He did do that. Nobody Fresh says it's the same gimmick he had before the cult leader. It feels different. It definitely feels a lot different. We got more people saying in Ali, we trust Ali for president. And I'm feeling it. Everybody seems to be liking it here. So I'm glad. All right. And okay, so that was really the big thing, honestly, from NXT was that Mustafa Ali new gimmick. Let's go. Let's have some fun with it. Ooh. I wonder, like, how they're going to continue moving this forward. Like, I'm going to be interested in seeing, like, what kind of promos he has with, like, some of the other talent and who they mix it up with. Oh, God. Sorry. A thought just popped into my head. And I was thinking about those Joe Gacy promos. And I'm like, oh, my God. Can you imagine Joe Gacy and Mustafa Ali, like, going at it with this new character? That would be interesting. I don't know if I necessarily want that, but whatever. just popped into my head. Anyways, let's press on from here. We got a couple more things to talk about, and then we'll go ahead and get into the heat wave preview. Really quickly, I'm going to skim through this. We got Tyler Bate and Joe Coffey. This match was going as is. And Dabba Kato, in case you guys forgot, Dabba Kato, they had promoted him earlier in the night and saying he's returning soon. He's done being in the shadows. Well, of course, he had to come out and attack Tyler Bate. I feel bad, guys. I'm not a Dabba Kato fan. So this was just thumbs down for me all across the board. I did not care for this. We also got the Nathan Fraser show. Oh, damn. This is the section of NXT that I was not a fan of. We got the Nathan Fraser show. I forget what he calls it. Hard Knocks something. I don't know what he calls it. I forget. And it's too long. The name's too long. Who here remembers the whole name? Someone here remembers the name of that show that he does. Write it in the comments because I cannot remember it to save my life. Like, literally. I'd be done if this was the question that I got to save my life. I would be done. So Nathan Fraser, he does his thing. Metaphor comes out. It gets very obnoxious. He starts pressing these buttons and these effects. And I was out of this one, guys. We're going to get this match at Heatwave. It's happening. A thing that I did love, though, and this was the Angel Garza Umberto segment that they did. This was a video package where they had Umberto Garza voiceover play over this video, and they were kind of showing a little bit of like how do I explain it, like they were showing footage of like the family of Garza and Umberto, you know, the whole thing growing up, training together, all of those things were shown. This was very, very cool. I like that they're introducing the family aspect of it because it is huge. For those of you who do not know, the Garza family, they are freaking so, so respected, especially in Monterrey, Mexico. They're huge there, like huge. How would I put this? Like, think about like Bret Hart in Canada, but for them in Monterrey. So that is kind of just to kind of put a little bit in perspective of how huge they are there. And so I like that they did this, you know, explanation and culture and just overall importance. And based on what we saw the week before, where they did the video where they were texting with each other back and forth, it feels like they're not breaking up the team. So I'm happy to hear that. And it just seems like they're giving us a little bit of background. So I think that's cool. Give them a little personality. NXT does very well with that. They give people personalities and stories and we go with it. So yeah, I like that. Okay, so let's get into NXT Heatwave, everybody. Here we go. Matches that are happening and quick predictions. All right, let's start off with, wow, these are not in order at all. I did a crappy-ass job at ordering these. All right, here we go. Let's start here. We got the mixed tag team match, Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley against Dragon Lee and Lyra Valkyria. I'm definitely thinking it's going to be Dominic and Rhea. There ain't no way they are losing this match. You got your women's champ and then your NXT North American champ and, like, literally the hottest act right now in WWE or one of, for sure. Yeah, they ain't losing this, but I'm expecting a nice match here, especially with Lyra. She's had a really good last month or so. Ever since that match with her and Rhea, I feel like we're gonna get a nice little interaction there. So I'm really looking forward to that part of this match. I think this one will be fun. We're also gonna be getting Von Wagner versus Baron Corbin, and this is all pretty much leading to Von Wagner and Bron Breakker. So I'm thinking, I don't know, I'm kind of expecting Bron Breakker to come in and cost this match for Baron Corbin or for Von Wagner, or this to somehow later on escalate and then after this become a triple threat match. Maybe they can do something there because clearly Bron Breakker is not necessarily going to want to help out Von Wagner either, because Von Wagner put him through a table. And then he's also pissed at Baron Corbin. So he's kind of got beef with both of them. So, yeah. I don't know how they're going to close this one out, but I feel like it can go either direction. I can't definitely not see Von Wagner defeating Baron Corbin cleanly. Like, that's definitely not something that I'm expecting at all. We're also going to be getting the NXT Heritage Cup match to determine who the real Heritage Cup winner is, and that is Nathan Frazer versus Noam Dar. And This has been my least favorite story, so I'm moving on from this one. And we were just talking a whole lot about Carmelo Hayes and Wesley for the NXT Championship. My official pick is Carmelo Hayes, although I am expecting Wesley to get some really great near falls, some really good teases in there. He's the underdog in this one. If Wesley were to win, I wouldn't hate it, but I'm definitely sticking with Carmelo Hayes here. And then we're also getting Ilya Dragunov versus Trick Williams. I feel bad because this is like Trick Williams is wanting to prove himself, but ain't no way he should be losing to Ilya Dragunov. I mean, ain't no way he should be defeating Ilya Dragunov. Like, no way. Ilya Dragunov needs to win this. I'm sorry. All right, so there we go. Those are the matches that were announced for Heat Wave, and that is what we're going to be seeing. So, guys, before we round up the show, just a friendly reminder. So next week, I am going to be in London. I'm flying out Tuesday, and so I will be watching NXT somehow in London, but please expect a post show to come later. I won't be live immediately off after NXT. It's just not possible because NXT airs there at 1 a.m. and I'm gonna probably want to be asleep. So I expect a late NXT Heatwave review, and then also same thing for AEW. Reg and I will be on here the following day instead because of, again, the time change. So that's for next week. But tomorrow, Reg and I will be here to talk about AEW Dynamite. And then I will be back this Saturday for AEW Collision. So that will be very fun. And then I've got hopefully an interview dropping on Thursday. And I think that one will be pretty fun too. Who knows? I haven't done it yet. So we'll see. Alrighty, everybody. That is it. That is today's show. Thank you guys so much. Oh, shit. Wait, actually, no. There's one more thing I need to do, guys. Sorry. One more thing I need to do before we go. And that is I need to read the reviews that for the I promise this every Tuesday. And every single week I tell you guys, head on over to Apple Podcasts. Please leave a review. And we've got some more. I'm officially up to 53 ratings. I'm trying to get to 100 by the end of the year. So if you haven't yet, please go leave a review. It would mean a whole lot to me. And here we go. We got one here from CD Punk 4223, who says, great podcast. Love the show. Denise is the best. She brings a lot of fun and personality to the table when she discusses wrestling. Thank you so much to CD Punk 4223. We got another one here from Shelby V. Pool. Thank you so much to Shelby because she says, I don't even watch wrestling anymore, but I listen to all the reviews. Only wrestling related podcasts I can manage anymore. But for this one, not only can I manage to listen, I listen to her when I don't even know the show she's covering. If you are looking for someone that stays on task, says with the review of a SmackDown show and doesn't go off tangents and never covers the actual matches, this is your show. So she's basically saying I stick to the assignment and cover the show. So thank you so much to Shelby for also going in and leaving this review. Guys, you guys all got me to the top 23. The top 23. So shooting for the stars here. Thank you to everybody. And yes, I do want to be one of the top 10 podcasters trying to get there. It's tough competition, but I'm trying. Alrighty, everyone. Thank you so much. And I will see you guys back here tomorrow for AEW Dynamite Conversation. Goodbye, everyone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.